All right, so we got a new ham radio. I'm here with my friend Brad, who you may recall as the puncher number two in my Happy to Serve You Ottawa screening intro movie, and also the steady-handed camera-holding guy.
Director of photography.
Indeed. Yeah, you had quite the steady hand. Very helpful.
Thank you. I think the on-camera stabilization was also on.
So now let me ask you, you hate music, is that right?
Well, you know, I don't have what any normal person would call musical taste.
Right. Yeah. I always kind of think of Marge in The Simpsons as she says, music is none of my business.
But the thing is, I actually love music a lot, but people will ask me, well, what do you listen to? And my mind just draws a complete blank. It's like asking me to, you know, so what words do you know? Oh, right. You know, like, I've done that a couple times. I was like, geez, how many words do I know? And I'm like,
So I guess the other way to put it is you're not constantly voraciously devouring music like most people that I know.
No, not at all. I mean, like, I think what they mean when they ask me what I listen to is like, who do you respect in a really big way? And I'm like, well, I don't know. You know, I do, you know, and I... You know, almost everything that I listen to qualifies in some way as novelty music. You said how, you know, Weird Al was your starting point. Well, Weird Al is my alpha and omega.
You know, I've been shocked at how many ostensibly cool people I've met in this town that are like, I got the new Weird Al, you know?
Come on, he's, you know, he's really good.
He is. He's awesome.
You know?
You know, that's actually one thing that I'm looking forward to with doing an episode with you is I don't have to feel at all embarrassed about any of my musical choices.
This
I won't
is
be
true.
Ostracized like I was somewhat with the other ones. Because like when I played Weird Al, you could just feel the vibe in the room. Matt and Ray were just not having it, you know. So
really, no. Yeah.
Fuck them.
Yeah, that,
you're
of course,
to
that
this right
song,
now, you fucks, fuck you.
Yeah, the song, you know, Close But No Cigar, it's like you listen to it more than a couple of times and it starts to grate on you.
It went the opposite for me.
The first time,
I think it's because the first time I listened to it was on the YouTube video of it, so it just has bad sound quality. But then when I heard it again, I was like, I don't know, I like that too.
Yeah, for me, White and Nerdy just keeps getting easier and better to listen to.
But that really can't be attributed to him. I mean, it's Chameleon Air's little beat and all.
Oh, that true enough.
Although he does improve some stuff. Like I always thought that Smells Like Nirvana was better.
Is better
than Smells
than Smells Like Teen Spirit. I was like,
sped it up a little. Yeah, much
on the other hand, and of course that, you know, that was kind of my introduction to Nirvana. I was like, hey, and then it's like, hey, these guys have other really cool, you know, like Lithium is officially, because I have to have one, my favorite song.
Right. I was actually just reading in the Onion AV Club, they got this new thing where they get people to go through the first five songs on shuffle on their iPod, no skipping, no, oh, that one doesn't count, and explain them all. And Weird Al, that You Know You're Right song came up, the one they released 10 years
it's
after.
It's a good song.
Yeah, well, that's what he's saying. He's like, man, that's better than the shit that was out at the time. Like, nobody, the early 90s were so great. No one writes that shit anymore. He's right. They were great. And he had an awesome line about Courtney Love. A whole song came up. And he's like, hey, what can I say? I mean, Hitler made the trains run on time.
Go on, take everything. Take everything I want you to.
Because it's the other thing. Yeah. Hole was awesome.
That,
you know?
At least that album is so good. It's just, you know, like, I love that album.
So why don't we begin then? What would you like to play first?
All right, well, I'm gonna recommend the Touchtone Genius. If anything is novelty music, this is it.
Since this is one of these little wee ones, should we play a couple of little wee ones together?
Well, I think we should play the wee ones, just spit them out occasionally, right? Yeah, this one it's by a guy who goes by the name of Andrew Pants. I do not know whether that's his actual name, but his website is songstowearpants2.com, and he will let you... Or he will, you know, he takes requests, right? Now, there's a time limit. I can't remember if it's 1 minute and 11 seconds or 111 seconds, but that's the most he will do on an unpaid request. This was a paid request.
Yet it's still only 1 minute and 8 seconds, I notice.
Maybe it was... Well, here's the thing. Like, if you go to the website and you look at the request that he got for this, it was insanely detailed. And he did it somehow, right? Anyway, yeah, just listen to this fucker and see if it makes any sense. And if it doesn't, we'll just pretend it never happened.
All right.
Hello?
Hello. I am the Touchtone Genius, master of voices.
What?
I am sorry for waking you so early in the morning, but it's very urgent I play you something.
Frank?
You see, the police are looking for me.
What? Hello? Hello?
I am so rich, I have won the lottery.
What is this? And then the guy goes,
I am going to buy a sports car. You must buy me a fur coat. I am going to purchase the fastest sports car. You idiot, buy me a diamond ring. A sports car.
I dare say this is the most fabulous phone call I've ever received in my entire life.
A sports car.
Oh, bravo. So it goes on for a while.
Oh, sorry, honey.
I'm in awe.
Your mom's fat.
What just happened?
You know, I find that even more baffling when you say how detailed. Like, I can't even imagine what the
guy requested that.
I can't even.
The guy requested that.
Do they include the request? Fucking,
yeah, like, it was like, you know, he was like, you know, it should sound like he's playing on a touchtone phone. He should. Like the details that he put in, like he requested that, I swear to God, and he got it. And there's actually like a video, like a guy animated this song, which of course, you know, if you heard it and you could animate, you'd want to animate it too. It's anyway, so yeah.
Well, yeah. That was different. I'll give you that. That was that was an odd one.
So I just want everyone in the world to hear that, because yeah.
Well, I'm pretty sure everyone in the world does listen to this, so...
Yeah, totally.
Mission accomplished.
Yeah, yeah.
So since that was a short one, let's play another short one. What else you got?
All right. Well, let's see. I guess the only other real short ones we have are ones by him.
All right. So let's do another one by him.
The giant squid.
The giant squid. Anything we need to know about the giant squid?
You know, here's the weird thing.
Hold on. There's numbers before these songs. Does this mean this is song number 249?
Yes.
And that Touchtone Genius was 219?
Yes.
Motherfucker has a lot of songs.
Uh-huh. And yeah.
Christ.
I mean, if he likes your request enough, he'll, you know, go in for the whole minute and 11 seconds. You can pay him to do stuff too. People do pay him.
What if he's like totally into it? Will he ever do one more just because it's going so awesome?
You know, I don't know.
Does
I really
he do
don't
one
know.
Every day? Or what's the deal?
I don't know. Like, that's the thing. It's actually like I just don't have the details on that one. It's been a while, right?
What was that website again?
SongsToWearPants2.com.
All right. So
you definitely got to check it out, because he's got a lot of weird stuff. So this is the Giant Squid. There's also the Giant Squid J-Punk remix, but I think this one's better.
All right.
And you said you wondered whether there's any information that needs to be said. Well, we learn everything we need to know about the giant squid in this song.
Dogs and conquering the world is something he'd like to be involved in. It starts with writing a weekly advice column. In terms of size, the giant squid's greater than your average squid. A velocitator is what he travels in. There he goes. He lives atop the Red Sand in Detroit, Michigan. And one time fought this guy named Lincoln. If you get picked in the ocean, blame his minion. The giant squid will rule the world. Insides are optically perfect. Whales are his mortal enemy. And he does, and he does, and he does. On the giant squid, he does. It's poor Mojo, giant squid. It's poor Mojo, it's poor Mojo, giant squid. It's poor Mojo, it's poor Mojo, giant squid. It's poor Mojo.
Nice, so don't act like you haven't been fucking warned. And the giant squid eats your fucking balls.
Yep. His eye is optically perfect.
Man. Does that in there? I didn't even catch that one.
Yeah. No, that's in the chorus. It's like, you know, the giant squid will rule the world. His eye is optically perfect. Yeah, I love that bit, man.
Nice.
All right. Yes! Sorry,
something exciting coming up.
Well, I love that song, and I was I was very
this one. You mean?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we'll I was very you know, concerned, or not really concerned, very dedicated to trying to pick out songs that, you know, that you hadn't shown me, you know, because I go through my playlist and it's like, oh yeah, yeah, he, yeah, yeah, you know, so trying to find songs that you didn't, you know, you'd either never heard before or whatnot, you know, just for this first time, you know.
You know, that's one thing with the old being gone for 2 years, now that I've come back, young Maddie has really diverged. She listens to all kinds of crazy shit I never heard of before.
Yeah, I really like the I like the techno stuff he listens to, you know.
Can't ignore my techno. It's a fucking good song.
I love techno.
No two ways
shit,
about
man.
That. But this is from that movie Hoodwinked, which I really think people
oh,
make...
Oh, yeah, that one.
I think people make too much of a big deal about kids' cartoons and how great they are for grown-ups. I mean, they're better than they used to be, but they're still fucking dumb kids' cartoons. You know, they got their clever moments, but they aren't great. Yeah, well, I'd say Hoodwinked was more clever and definitely greater than most. I was mostly into
it. Yeah, it was definitely
the grandma bored me to death. Well, like, just at the beginning.
Yeah, the grandma.
How I knew it was going to be a little different was... Riding Hood's talking to the wolf, and she's like, well, what was it even?
Well, there's eyes, teeth, ears,
yeah, I can't
nose,
remember which one it was, but
claws, hands,
all
fingernails.
All the better to withstand your many criticisms. I don't know, that was nice.
All the best.
I can't even remember what it was.
Shit, man.
It led to that. But there's this part where Red finds a horrible secret out about her grandma, which isn't horrible at all.
No, and not it goes at all. Into this grandma is the extreme sports player, just in case you were wondering. I have ruined Hoodwink for everybody.
And it goes into this big, long Red is sad montage that is... But the thing that's cool about it is even in the song, he references that it doesn't make much sense. There's no real call for this. It just... Is a cool
but then again,
scene.
Pointing out that you're aware of the flaws in your story is not the.
But
you
I was
know.
Okay with it this time.
Yeah. Oh no. In this, it's fine.
This is a Ben Folds song called "Red Is Blue," and
I like the lumberjack character in that movie. Man, that was like he was a quality character, like the actor, and he wasn't even really a lumberjack. He's just pretending to be a lumberjack.
And like when he first dives, bursts through the window. That's just good stuff. Yeah, it was all crazy. Yeah. Made no sense. But what was I going to say? But and like these characters are sad. Montages or little moments.
Yeah.
I love them. Even fucking Freddy Got Fingered. You remember when he's walking along to playing Natural Blues and it's raining and he throws his drawings in the garbage. I was like, oh, Tom!
That's
no,
right. That's
don't
right.
Don't give up on your dream. And obviously.
I guess I keep hearing from the most bizarre sources, like the, you know, once again, the most diverse sources you could possibly ask for, you know, that this movie Happy Feet is really good.
I refuse
to believe
animated
it.
Penguins.
Right?
It's got Robin Williams in
one
it.
One thing I heard is that the character goes like the main character goes into a viciously deep depression. And I don't know, I almost want to go see it just for the teenage emperor penguin going into a hideous depression.
There was an awesome depression joke on SpongeBob the other day. It was a training video.
I haven't seen SpongeBob in years.
It's a training video for Krabby Patty, you know, where SpongeBob works, and it was like the history of it, and it just starts off, after the war, Mr. Krabs sunk into a deep depression from which he thought he would never emerge. And then he bought Krabby Patty, and it just shows him sitting there being sad. I mean, that is such a weird kids cartoon. Good times,
all
that
right,
show.
So
Red is Blue,
is
Ben
blue.
Folds. I've heard Ben Folds apparently is awesome. I only really
I
know two of his
too.
Songs, and
yeah.
I do like the two that I've heard, but someday I'll delve deeper.
Didn't he do like the Rock in the Suburbs in the Over the Hedge?
I think he did, yeah.
Yeah.
So nuts to that one. But he's got this song and one that I'll play at some point about Elliott Smith. It's a very awesome
ooh,
song
cool.
also. Maybe I'll even play it in this show. Fuck, we could have two songs by the same guy. But right now, Red is Blue.
Everything is changing. You're looking for the cure, and you feel like you're the loneliest girl in the world. Trouble in your head now. You don't know what to do. Seems like up is down and red remember when we started, days when all was fun, all that we could make when life was young. Now you're getting older, nothing feels the same. You can't even make sense of your own name. Because red is blue doesn't make much sense, but red is blue messing with your head now.
Definitely, I love the strings.
Yeah,
yeah, I love strings, and I think everything should either be like, you know, 8-bit Nintendo sounding or like full orchestra. You know,
I think you can combine those two to great effect. I think that could be pretty cool.
You know, well then, I have something kind of like that. Nintendo covers, right?
Right.
And I have,
right.
Yes.
So we got the mini bosses.
Yeah, now it's not quite full orchestra. In fact, it's nowhere near close, which is why I hesitated on my segue there.
I'll go with it. I think that's enough to proceed.
Yeah, and now the mini bosses, of course, they do what is often referred to as Nintendo metal. Just because.
Principally because they're a metal band that does
Nintendo covers. Yeah.
Or a rock band, at least. Rocking out.
Yeah, well, it's definitely very metally. Well, the Neskimos are more metally than the mini bosses, but
I've actually never heard them before.
The Neskimos, oh man, they do a great version of Woodman. It's awesome. That Woodman being the Mega Man 2 enemy. Except the only problem with the Neskimos song is that every one of their songs ends in like this great big bum 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 bum, like, you know, the drummer just does like, you know, does this horrible thing at the end. It's like, oh, stop that. Come on. It was really great. And then, you know, but it has to end in a hideous drum breakdown that I don't really enjoy.
Super drum freak out?
Well, yeah. Like, it was like the drum just gets way, way too high at the end, like, or too heavy at the end. Every song. But so this combines several of my favorite things: video game music in general, Metroid, one of the finest video games ever made.
How quickly can you beat Metroid?
I have beat it with a map. With a map, I've beat it using no particular cheats in 35 minutes.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's pretty good, I'd say.
Yeah, especially since, you know, like the best, the, you know, to get the best ending, you only have to beat it in 2 hours.
Right.
Yeah. But, yeah, now without a map, I do get lost.
Now, the best ending, that is Samus sitting on an 8-bit cock. Is that right?
No, the best ending is Samus waving in a bikini.
Oh, that's pretty good.
But she's on the, you know, she's on the surface of a planet, you know, that apparently has no atmosphere. It must be really cold, so she's got a wicked nipple hard on.
Mm.
Yeah.
Nice. 8-bit nipples.
My dad, when he first beat Metroid, right, he beat it, was like, it must have been like 16 hours, to, you know, that it took, right? And he was convinced that instead of having turned around, turned her back on us in shame, she was actually embarrassed because she was completely naked. I was like, dude, no, it you know, that's her space suit. Like, you can see the helmet, you know? Ah, the power of denial.
Yeah, for sure.
So this is my favorite song out of Metroid. See, Kraid's hideout theme.
Excellent. Let us listen, shall we?
Yes, let's.
So we caught Brad with a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup in his mouth. Or so we'll tell the general population in case there are young children in the room. So I was going to say that Metroid certainly has some odd music to it, eh? It was not your standard Nintendo music.
That's what made it, like, you know, that's what made it Hip Tanaka, the greatest Nintendo composer. He also composed the music to Kid Icarus, right?
A little bit less prestigious of a game.
Well, Kid Icarus.
Kid Icarus Zero Mission.
That'd be awesome. Man, like, you know, that's the
Kid
thing.
Kid Icarus Prime. I'd fucking love to play that.
You know, hey, come on. With the amount of brand raping, you know, necromancy that goes on these days, you will see a new Kid Icarus game at some point.
Maybe.
I mean, come on, with the Nintendo, the new revolution there, they go and they have the haptic controller and everything. That's perfect for, like, arrow shooting. They'll have a new Kid Icarus in, like, you know, at least no later than 5 years.
So what do you think of the theory? This is the idea I had, that if they're going to go with the name the Wii, in Japan, it made more sense because the double I is actually a Japanese symbol that means peace and looks like two little men. But I think here, even if they just called it the WE, the Wii, we play together, I think that would have been less gay.
Yeah, yeah.
But people have pretty much swallowed it down. So
yeah, well,
that's
the thing. It's like, you know, it's just awkward in conversation, right? You know, and it sounds bad from this point, right? Like, you know, even if it, you know, I mean, I read a comic called Wigu.
I do too. It's fucking awesome.
But
very excellent comic.
You know, it's easy to talk about Wigu because it doesn't sound like anything else.
Right.
Right? So you could just have, you know, stupid acronyms and stuff like that. I mean, a laser, right? That's an acronym.
What does that stand for?
Jesus. Light.
Is the first word laser?
Light amplified something emitting, you know.
Rectum.
Radiation, I think, is.
I was close.
Yes. Something like that. Geez, I don't actually know what laser stands for.
So, well, good Lord, get out of this house.
What kind of nerd am I?
Seriously, I'm a little disappointed. So, I might eat my words on this one, but I am going to go on record as saying that I think the PlayStation 3 is doomed. I think it's just retarded. I think if you want to have fun, you go buy the Wii.
Wii is fun.
Right. If you just want to get a system, get the Xbox. It's been out for a year already. It's doing okay. If you want a PlayStation 3, buy a computer. Don't spend $600-$700 on this stupid thing.
Only issue there is that computer games, all you get is Xbox, what do they call it, ports.
Well, again, just buy the Xbox then.
Yeah, there you go. That's the decision. Buy the Xbox or the Wii. Thing is,
I mean,
PlayStation 3 is probably going to... going to survive.
With the PlayStation 2, honestly, to me, all I cared about was Grand Theft Auto. You know, and maybe Tony Hawk, but that's on everything. So maybe it'll get its one crazy game. But I don't know.
That's weird. I mean, like, because the PS2 launch, that was really, you know, pretty nasty. Like, you know, there was, like, a Godzilla game, and there was the Bouncer. You remember the Bouncer? That was, like...
I know of it, yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Joel had that tape that he was...
Yeah, good.
Yeah, it's like, hey, let's watch me play the Bouncer. It's pretty much the same as watching, you know, it's pretty much the same as playing it, because he only got to hit buttons for like 10 minutes out of the hour or something.
That's the other thing, is that Xbox has got the whole live thing totally.
Oh, yeah, they got that nailed, apparently. I don't play multiplayer games.
Basically, though, fuck video games. Fuck everyone who plays them. Fuck you. That's what I say. I got over that whole thing far too long ago. Although I was playing Out of This World again the other day, emulated on the cracked Xbox. Game is fucking hard, but so cool.
Actually, yeah, cool. I have a new, they re-released it for PC. I actually paid like $10 for the new re-release.
I heard there was a part two that was on Sega CD or some shit. You played the crazy gray alien man.
I think there was supposed to be.
Yeah, I should look into that sometime, just in case. But yeah, I almost beat it, but I got to this part where all it is a gunfight, but I couldn't beat
it. I have beaten it.
Yeah, I've beat it many times in the past. But well, do
you mean Out of This World or Flashback?
Out of This World.
Okay.
You remember when the big green guy throws you onto the awning and then he gets stuck there?
Oh, yeah,
so
yeah.
So you go down and then it's just all you got to do is fight these two guys, but there's no space. I can't beat him. I tried 20 times.
Yeah, I can't remember how I got past that exactly.
Oh, and then I tried jumping like a fairy onto the next screen, just jumping past them. But then you either get shot or they just punch your face in.
Yeah, it's pretty nasty.
Anyway, enough of the video games. Let's go on to...
Totally.
Mr. Ben Lee.
Ah, yeah. That was a good song.
The way I heard of this guy was he had his first bit of fame was he did a song about Evan Dando called I Wish I Was Him, and then became friends with Evan Dando. And I didn't really give Ben Lee a lot of a try. Same as like Ben Queller I mentioned before. He's got like the song or two that are really good, and the rest I couldn't really give a fuck. But this one song, Cigarettes Will Kill You, very, very excellent song.
Yes, I first heard of this song from a friend of mine, Keith.
Yeah.
And
you may have heard of him. Open Keith Bentley's third show, the DVD, you know. Keep and, the Girls version of Andy Rooney.
Yeah, like, it's just, gah, it's great.
Yeah, and they ain't kidding, cigarettes will kill you.
Cigarettes will kill you. Yep.
Well, that's never mentioned in the song ever, at all, in any way.
Yeah, inhaling them. Yep.
Yeah,
you could choke.
Cigarettes themselves won't.
You could choke.
Yeah, they won't
the trip you know, the back. Filter will block out the oxygen.
All right, so Ben Lee, Cigarettes Will Kill You.
From in a pan, you cook me in a can, you swore you'd steal my steam to feed your dream and then be gone. I wish I could say that everyone was wrong. Said you left me ripped and tattered all over my ears. I should have known at first that you would leave me hurt. You had to try dessert. No way to let off steam. Don't bother milk or cream. No way to let off steam. And I want a TV. Must feel good to stand above me while I make you so proud of me. It must feel good that I'm now gone. I wish I could say that everyone was wrong.
Thought of a, I remember what impressed me the most about Bentley
mm-hmm.
is that he was going out with Claire Danes yeah. at the time that you introduced him to me.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, man.
Fucker.
Yeah, lucky. Ah,
yeah.
Yep. Hey, yeah. Speaking of Claire Danes, did you see Shop Girl?
Yeah, yes, I did, and I read the little novella as well.
Oh, cool. How was the novella? I really okay. liked the movie.
Like, I'd say if you liked the movie, you would definitely like the novella as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it wasn't bad. Wasn't bad, was it?
I was like, you know, at the for the first 20 minutes, I was like, man. I wish I was smart enough to write a movie, write a movie where the idea is that I make out with Claire Danes.
Yeah, you know what? Steve Martin definitely seems like the anti. What's that fuckface's name? Robin Williams. You know, he's kind of
mm-hmm,
grown
mm-hmm.
from the similar comedy roots, except Steve Martin is more or less dignified and respected, whereas not so much yeah. the other guy.
Well, you know, that's weird, right? Like, I haven't seen... The last time I saw Robin Williams, it was on The Aristocrats.
I didn't even remember he was on it. That's how memorable he is.
Yeah, well, yeah, he didn't put on much of a performance there. I like the Drew Carey thing where Drew Carey was convinced that the snapping of the fingers at the end was what made the joke.
Definitely, like, though, Sarah Silverman was by far my favorite.
Oh,
man, that was cool. That
like,
was so good.
She just made a total fan out of me, like, yeah. just instantly there. Because, you know, and of course in the commentary, they're like, do you realize how insanely hard what she's doing is, right? She's just totally, like, you know.
And that really is kind of her shtick. I mean, she has kind of, every joke she does is sort of that, she's kind of unaware of what she's saying.
Joe Franklin raped me.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, I was thinking how Sarah Silverman, I think, has got to be my favorite female comic, but mostly just de facto. There is no one else.
Yeah, it's like...
But she's still great. You can't deny that.
Oh, yeah, awesome. Yeah. She's totally awesome. But yeah, like, you know, it's hard to imagine better because there's nothing out there to... You know, there's nothing out there even really, like, good and different to judge by. So.
Yeah, not only chicks ain't smart, they ain't funny. You heard it here first, folks.
I'm so disillusioned.
You can't even fight the statement. <It's like that. laughs>
Well, here
I'll continue to build on that for the rest of my life. You catch in on me when I'm like 80.
Okay, well,
I think I had a bad joke I was working on once about how I'm just going through a little misogynist phase. It'll only last until I'm 85. Then everything will be fine the last couple of years, and then I'll die and be brought back in a robot body and have a horrible relationship with a bitch robot, and that'll be,
there's one bitch. One bitch with a thousand faces.
That reminds me of another bad joke that I was trying to think maybe I could work it into a Keith and the Girl bit, but I don't think I got enough material, so I'll just say it. I went to see Guns N' Roses last week. It was fucking awesome. My dad took me. We had to drive to the next town over. It was an hour away, and it was awesome. I mean, it was just Axl with a band. It was almost like a cover band with the real singer. It was a little silly in a way. But the Suicide Girls opened. Didn't expect that. Nice bonus. Got to see them because I missed them in Vancouver. And it was like 3 fucking hours of Guns N' Roses. It was wicked.
Holy shit.
Yeah. And he kind of did a lot of new songs, and he didn't play the one new song I really like. And introduced everyone. And each introduced member gets a 5-minute solo, which I think was just so he could rest his old vocal cords. But he sounded pretty good.
It's got to be hard on, like, you know. Like,
His range is crazy. And I remember they did a show for the MTV Awards like 4 years ago.
Yeah, and he was like smooth.
Yeah, his facelift I think is starting to sag again, so it doesn't look as weird. But his voice was cracking and stuff. He couldn't pull it off, but he did fine.
The facelift was a weird choice, though.
Yeah, right? Especially for guys. Guys get rugged and handsome when they get old. They don't need facelifts.
Exactly.
It's silly.
It's.
But the bit that I recalled, first off, I noticed that St. John, especially, what with the sailor spawn and all, much uglier people than on the West Coast.
Ooh.
Much uglier, especially at a Guns N' Roses show in 2006. Those aren't the top of the fucking pile. But I was in the merchandise line waiting to buy this very hat. And, that's my way of everything. You just get in, you know what you want, you get it. The fucking guy in front of me, some kind of big fat fashionista, he's all like, oh, let me see that one. Which shirt? Oh, that shirt there. So the guy brings it over and he's all looking at it and puts it on the table and is smoothing it out. And he's like, it's going to shrink a little, right? Yeah, let me try the next size up. And just sat there looking. It's fucking Guns N' Roses, dick face. Buy your fucking shirt and get the fuck out, you know? It's like, man, it used to be about drinking all day, drinking all night, fucking Guns N' Roses. Now it's about some fat idiot who can't decide what shirt he wants. I was angered.
Well, Axl should write a song about that.
Yeah. But
buy his t-shirts fast.
Even though I really do think Axl Rose is—he's basically full of shit. You really need to be full of shit to be great. Sometimes, like, nobody writes November Rain unless they're fucking full of fucking shit.
Yeah, there was that.
I can't fault them for that.
It's like some story about Kurt Cobain and Axl Rose.
Yeah, where
shut up, your woman.
Yeah, you tell your bitch. Yeah. That was like the passing of the torch where Axl was not cool anymore.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's where I heard that story. You said it on
It was some bootleg where Kurt was talking about, I don't even remember. They were just making fun of Axl Rose, basically. And
all right. So,
fuck Axl Rose.
Interesting that you should bring up women because, of course, if there's any trend in, you know, what I like, it's novelty music. And acts featuring female singers.
Right.
Yep.
You know, though, that's one thing I almost feel bad for female singers, because they almost all sound the same.
It's true.
I mean, it's not like Axl Rose. Nobody sounds like Axl Rose. You can't recreate that guy. But chick singers, they're a dime a dozen. There are very few of them that really stand out.
Yep, exactly. Well, so, out of the many, many selections that one could have here, I would say I'm quite fond... Actually, 2 years ago, I became quite fond of Vanessa Carlton, of all people.
Now, I think that name sounds sort of familiar.
Making my way downtown, walking fast, faces passing, I'm homebound. 1,000 miles?
I don't think I know any of her stuff.
Cool. Well, this is going to make her sound more interesting than she actually is.
Oh, I'm thinking of Vanessa Williams. It's definitely not
Vanessa Williams. No, it's not Vanessa Williams.
Okay, in that case, good. Because I was like, is it? Could?
No. I'm not Vanessa Williams.
Well, I'm not above sometimes listening to very horrible mainstream stuff.
Hey, look, I almost brought a thing by Milk Inc. here just because it's a cover of an Aha song.
Oh, yeah?
It's a cover of The Sun Always Shines on TV. I will bring it in someday.
I didn't know Aha had more than one song.
Yes, they do. It's actually the sequel to, or the video is the sequel to Take On Me.
Really? Is it the same style?
Not really.
Oh, so
the video begins where the Take On Me video ends.
So no more cartoon stuff, though?
No, it's got a little bit of cartoon stuff, and then the cartoon guy runs away and blows up in the distance. I guess they were a little tired of the Take On Me video at that point.
Ran out of their animation budget at that point.
Yeah, and then they just kind of do this song. But anyway, that's talking about a song which I didn't bring.
Right.
And this is on Vanessa Carlton's second album, Harmonium, which, I don't know, I just really like almost everything on it. And it might just be because I want to fuck Vanessa Carlton.
So this song, Winter, take it, it's not a cover
it's
of the Tori Amos
song. It's called actually called Half a Week Before the Winter.
Okay, so yep. It is not the Tori Amos song. All right, cool. Well, let's play it.
All right.
Half a week before the winter, the chill bites before it comes. I'm a child of the pleasure that he brings before he runs. He sits behind a desk of mahogany. He whispers dreams into my ear. And though I've given him his empire, he delivers me my fear. Unicorns are riding high, powerful in coats of white. I turn to look and burn my eyes. I carry on, I carry all the weight of empty promise. 'Cause I stand swallowed by the light, flickering above the highway. I hold my head and know the streets are mine tonight. The vampires are growing tired. The coats of white all turn to red. My heart burns with desire. I carry on, I carry. We turn to look and burn our eyes. I carry on, I carry. The vampires are growing tired. The coats of white all turn to red. My heart burns with desire. I carry on.
So I got to say, that seemed like a pretty neat song.
It's definitely the most fucked up song on her second album, which I recommend heartily.
And I was saying, I think to you earlier, yeah, that one thing I enjoy about these ham radios is I don't always, it doesn't always sink in the first time necessarily, but I always go back and listen to them later and give all these songs I haven't heard a more careful listen, and it's cool. Get to hear cool shit that I wouldn't have normally heard.
Excellent.
Yeah, it's good. So actually, I got... only really one more thing I necessarily want to play, so why don't we play something else out of your pile?
My oeuvre. All right. Well, okay. I think the Stakeout. Stakeout, yes.
Yeah, okay, where is that?
Let's see. Freeze Pop, Stakeout, yes.
Freeze Pop, all right.
Yes, now...
Anything with the word pop in it.
Wait a minute. Now let's do Avenue Q instead.
All right, Avenue Q. So,
because, you see, here's the thing. I two girls in a row... You know,
fuck that.
Yeah. Well, you know what I mean. It's like it's.
So what's the deal with this Avenue Q thing?
Okay.
It's kinda like Sesame Street. Some.
It's a musical. The people like normally I don't go for musicals at all.
Oh, so you mean these all tie together into like one big show?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah. It's one big story about this guy who graduates from college with a BA in English and he sings a song. What do you do with a BA in English? And then he just keeps, he gets into a shitty apartment you know, on Avenue Q, and the joke is that, you know, they have avenues A, B, C, and D.
And he worked his way down.
And you work your way down, and the A is the richest avenue, and so forth. There is no actual Avenue Q, but where it would be is the theoretical, you know, joint where they are. And, yeah, they make jokes about Gary Coleman, which I, you know, it's that stupid South Park thing where they make a joke about a celebrity. But Gary Coleman is a character in this thing. Anyway, it's all done with puppets. It's like Sesame Street. There are a couple of human characters. And, yeah, it's like there's Kate Monster and Trekkie Monster. You know, the song The Internet is for Porn, which a lot of people have heard. But this one, this song is with the Ernie and Bert characters. And the Bert character is a repressed homosexual.
Of course.
And this is the song that he sings. Well, this is a song that he sings under the circumstances that... at the beginning.
All right.
Oh, I wish you could meet my girlfriend. My girlfriend who lives in Canada. She couldn't be sweeter. I wish you could meet her. My girlfriend who lives in Canada. Her name is Alberta. She lives in Vancouver. She cooks like my mother and sucks like a Hoover. I email her every single day just to make sure that everything's okay. It's a pity she lives so far away in Canada. Last week she was here, but she had the flu. Too bad, cause I wanted to introduce her to you. It's so sad, there wasn't a thing that she could do but stay in bed with her legs up over her head. Oh! I wish you could meet my girlfriend, but you can't because she is in Canada. I love her, I miss her, I can't wait to kiss her. So soon I'll be off to Alberta. I mean Vancouver. Shit, her name is Alberta. She lives in Vancouver. She's my girlfriend. My wonderful girlfriend. Yes, I have a girlfriend who lives in Canada. And I can't wait to eat her pussy again.
Oh, Bert, you dirty homo. You're not fooling anybody. Least of all me. So, what I'm going to play now is Ben Folds song number 2.
Ho ho.
Basically, the only two Ben Folds songs I'll stand behind is Being Awesome. Maybe someday in the future when I've listened to them more, there'll be more. But this song, I think a key to this song is how much you liked Elliott Smith.
Okay, which I did very much.
And especially with me, since I only heard of him basically about, I don't know, a year, 8 months before I moved away. So I had many, many days of crushing, horrifying pain, torment, and loneliness while listening to Elliott Smith.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Man. Oh, man. There were some weird, rough days. I remember that song they play in Garden State, The Beauty and Breakdown.
Yeah.
I remember when that movie came out, I was just like, you know, it is kind of fun how everything is crumbling around me and I brought this upon myself. There is a certain niceness to this. Yeah, it was a weird trip. It all turned out good in the middle and then kind of sucked at the end again. But, yeah, basically, good old Elliott Smith. Because, I mean, the main thing about this song is just that Elliott Smith's songs were awesome and got old Ben Folds through a lot of stuff. And depending on how much stuff you went through while listening to Elliott Smith, the more this song will twist your tiny heart.
Yeah, it's one of those things with good old, with music. It's like, you know, with really good music, it's like, you know, if you're in the, you know, if you're in a bad place, it like, you know, it levels you out into, you know, like you're like, oh yeah, bad place. I remember it because, like, I remember two years ago, I listened to the best of the Police,
right,
and you know, it's
a
really great, it's a really great album. It was a really great album for the kind of weird, you know, emotional crap I was going through.
You have a sucker?
Yeah.
What color is the sucker?
White.
And what else?
Red.
And what's the last one?
Lalo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Good job. Me and Brad were just talking about crushing defeats in our lives and how music played a role.
Yeah. You know, because when you start off, you're listening to it, you're like, oh, man, yeah, that's right. Things suck. And then you keep going and you keep listening to it. And eventually, as you come out of the depression, it's like, yeah, that's right. Things are awesome. And how you get that out of the same song, you know, that's what makes a great song in many ways.
It truly is magical.
Yeah.
All right, so Ben Folds, this song is called Late.
Under some dirty words on a dirty wall, eating
take out by myself. I played the shows, got back in the van and put the Walkman on, and you were playing Some Other Dive a thousand miles away. I played a thousand times before, and like pathetic stars, the truck stops and the rock club walls, I always knew you saw them too, but you never will again. It's too late. Don't you know it's been too late for a long time? Elliot, man, you played a fine guitar and some dirty basketball. Songs you wrote got me through a lot. Just wanna tell you that, but it's too late. It's too late. Now, don't you know it's been too late for a long time. Oh no, things were looking up, at least that's what I heard. Oh no, someone came and washed away your hard-earned peace of mind. Desperate static beats the silence up. A quiet truth to calm you down. The songs you wrote got me through a lot. Just wanna tell you that. But it's too.
Alright, so we've been invaded by a small child, so I think we'll play one more song, wrap this up. So we'll go with one from Mr. Brad. So what you got for us here?
Alright, I think...
Choose wisely and carefully, son.
Okay, well, I think of all the songs that I want to hear right now, Freeze Pop, Stakeout.
Well, excellent. Definitely. So what's the deal with this band? How'd you find out with them?
Okay, it's kind of interesting because I've come across them from multiple angles, and I never really bothered, you know, listening to anything at all. Or listening to anything from them at all. I read a webcomic, and they did a version of a song that was alluded to in the comic, one that, you know, there was no lyrics to it or anything. And, you know, that wasn't enough to get me to listen to them. And they actually, turns out they toured with the Mini Bosses.
Oh.
I found that out after I'd gotten into them.
Cool.
Like, yeah. And so it's a... Oh, they do all their... stuff on a Japanese MIDI device that has like an octave and a half of keys on it, and it's about the size of your wallet.
Huh.
Yep, they do almost all the stuff on that, but they're almost entirely studio. They do play some stuff. And I ran into a more popular song called the Robotron 2000, and they also did Science Genius Girl, which a lot of people have kind of heard. That was on a video at the end of a video at Newgrounds, Robotron 2000. I was like, I have to search out this freeze pop band. And of course, if anything represents kind of the in everything I like about music is kind of in this song. It's got a great hook.
Nice. Well, you know, apropos of nothing, I don't know why this suddenly jumped into my brain, but have you ever heard of this dumb show called Sons of Butcher, I think. I only saw a bit of it once. It wasn't that funny. It's like half animated, but they have real faces. It's on the Comedy Network.
Oh, right.
But these guys have their own band.
One of those Anaconda things.
Yeah, like that. Ugh. But these guys have their own band, and they got this video on Much Music. It's only like a minute long, and it's just live action. But I couldn't believe they play this thing on Much Music. The song is called Fuck the Shit. And the whole song is just, fuck the shit, the fucking shit, yeah. And they play it just flat out. I've seen it like 3 times. They don't even edit it at all.
That's CanCon for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, Canada is so great. We can show whatever we want, man. It's great. Oh, it's awesome. Take that, States. So I can find that song. I'll put it on at the end. But till then, freeze pop. Stakeout. That's Daddy. He's home. You going to go say hi?
Thinking someday that we'll meet. I'm thinking we'll do something more. I hide behind. Dear iPhone, got me to be quiet.
All right, we got a special guest here. Yeah. So Matt called and was shocked to find that I'm doing a ham radio without him.
Wow.
So do you feel like a big, dumb shithead now?
I feel like you're a fucking prick is what I feel like.
Really? Because I was just talking about how with Brad's here, I don't feel persecuted. Like, I can't play some of my gay songs that I like. Like, I was going to play a Sheryl Crow song. I then decided I'm not going to. But I could have.
Yeah, you definitely could have. Yeah.
No one's going to laugh at me here. I was thinking I am going to save that Sheryl Crow song.
Yeah, I'm actually kind of like I'm glad Ray's not here because he'd hate everything I like.
Yeah, Ray's a mean bastard.
Oh, Brad is there. Okay. I thought it was just you doing one.
Just by myself?
Bastard.
Do you feel better that Brad's here?
Yeah, actually.
No, we're good.
At least you got someone. At least it's like, this is my fucking show. I'm going to rule it. Yeah.
All right. Well, it's nice to hear from you, Matt.
Son of a bitch.
All right. Oh, I understand that.